The Ringer Gambling Feed is your one-stop shop for all things betting throughout the NFL season, from week one all the way through Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. We have you covered every which way. We got our favorite futures, we got props, we'll discuss the lines, and of course, we'll throw in a few parlays. That's a given. So whether you're a sharp or a square better, we'll be breaking it down in terms hopefully everybody can understand, and we'll try to win some money along the way. So be sure to subscribe to the Ringer Gambling Feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Kevin O'Connor, and joining me today is Matas Muzelis from the G League Ignite. He's a 6'10" forward who can handle the ball, shoot threes. He someday wants to be a versatile defender. That's something he brought up to me during my conversation with him today. I really enjoyed it. Muzelis, like Haaland last week, like Saar, very smart, self-aware, knows who he is, knows what he needs to get better at. I think these conversations, Haaland last Wednesday, Saar last Friday, Almansa later this week, and Muzelis today, all of them seem to have a good awareness of who they are as prospects. That's one of my key takeaways from all of these conversations. And with the G League Ignite this year, with Haaland and Muzelis, Almansa, Tyler Smith, a bunch of others on that team, the Ignite are more loaded than ever. And one of the things that Muzelis brought up to me early in this conversation is their desire to be a competitive winning team. They don't want to be just a developmental program like the Ignite has seemingly been in recent years. We'll see if that can happen this year. I personally think from watching the Ignite play two games against Perth, Muzelis needs the ball in his hands more. We talked about his ability to pass during this conversation. I don't think he ran point guard enough. He's the far superior prospect to London Johnson, who was the guy running point for them. He's got to be their guy running the offense. He's capable of doing it, especially in the half court. We'll see if that happens over the course of the season from Coach Jason Hart. They have a lot of promises that are made to prospects that they get to sign up to play for these teams. Going to be interesting to see what happens, but nonetheless, some up and down games for Muzelis against Perth. Overall, I was highly impressed by him, and I think the conversation reflects a lot of his potential and upside this coming season. Here's my conversation with Matas Muzelis.
Here with Matas Muzelis with the G League Ignite, potential number one pick in the 2024 NBA draft. Matas, how are you doing today, man?
I'm great. Great day today. I mean, yesterday was a fun game, and we're getting ready for Friday now.
You had your first game of the G League Ignite against Perth, exhibition games, of course, but it's a great experience. I was here 1 year ago with the Victor Wembanyama versus Scoot Henderson game. This year, like, the G League Ignite are loaded. I mean, like, you and Ron kind of are the headliners as potential number one picks, but whether it's Almansa or Smith, like, you guys have a ton of talent this year. What are your early assessments of playing with this group? Feels like chemistry is high right now. A lot of smart, high IQ players.
I mean, it's extremely fun first playing with all these guys. I mean, everyone's from different countries, different states, whatever, but we all brought it in together, and we figured out in practice that we could be like really good and we can make history for Ignite. So I think it's going to be a great season for us, and we're going to learn a lot all together.
You talk about making history. I was talking to Ron Holland earlier, and he's somebody who's like the winning attitude that he has. Mm-hmm. And you have that as well, where it's like the hustle, the competitiveness. It's a lot of guys like that on this team. Mm-hmm. And I think choosing the G League Ignite, I think on one hand, you could look at it from the outside and say, well, hey, Modest isn't going to get 20 shots per game every night, or Ron's not going to get that. But you guys are in a position where you can prove yourself, right? It seems like, without having to score every night. Is that part of the appeal and being part of this loaded roster to the Ignite?
Yeah, I mean, whatever, we don't really care about who scores. I think the cool part about all of us is that we're all not selfish, and we're all looking for the other guy. We're not really worried about what we do on the court. It's about getting the win and showing that you can progress through every game. So,
and with you, I think yesterday your second half was great. The first half, there were some good moments, you know, some of the moments where, like, you know, you got blocked by Saar. Mm-hmm. But the second half, you showed off basically everything that makes you such a high level prospect.
Yeah.
With your type of game, I feel like you are something that can fill any type of role in the NBA. 6'10", Ron Holland called you a 6'10 guard. Mm-hmm. How would you assess kind of your potential game moving forward as this versatile piece?
Yeah, I mean, saying that, I mean, first quarter, I was struggling a little bit, but I mean, finding the rhythm, and I think I can adjust pretty fast to whatever the pace of the game might be. Or, I mean, first professional game is a little different from high school, getting straight from high school. So it was a big jump, but I think I adjusted pretty fast into the second half of the game. And I mean, yeah, also saying that, I can play pretty much any position. I'm gonna, whatever the coaches want me to play. I mean, even in the next level, whatever my coach wants me to do, I'm going to play that position. I'm going to do that the best of my abilities.
What shifted between the first half and second half? Are you talking about adjustments? Is it speed of the game, mm-hmm. physicality?
Yeah, physicality, staying lower to the ground for me, I'd say, so I wouldn't get pushed around more. Also, I'd say it was kind of the speed, and I was very excited, so I was kind of breathing hard. I couldn't even breathe. I was so excited, but I mean, easing into the game, it was easier for me, and I think, I mean, this is what I work for. So,
did your parents play basketball?
Yeah, both of them.
Both
did.
Of them. Mm-hmm. I see. So that is that who you get? What do you get from each of them? Is there particular skills, shooting?
Yeah.
What do you get from each of them?
I think my dad's just kind of dog mentality. Yeah. He was just like a defender that like scrappy, and my mom was like a scorer. So all mixed together.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think with you, like, you have such a high floor as a player in the sense that at 6'10", with your high IQ, your feel for the game, mm-hmm. and your shooting, like, you're going to be in the league 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And with your shooting ability, this last year in high school, you shot 43%.
Yep.
And you're shooting off of movement, off of screens, off the dribble. Was your shot always this pure from three, or is it something that got better over the course of time in high school?
Yeah. I remember when I was about eighth grade, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I used to shoot like this, two hands, everything. Yeah. But Dimitri Pearson, my trainer, me and him worked throughout like the summers when people would kind of leave for like vacation. We'd kind of like take it serious and we'd focus on the shot for him. And throughout the years, I mean, it's just become reps, but getting even more reps is important. I mean, not on the stage. So I'm kind of focused. John Jenkins, also a teammate, helps me on my shooting form. Even today, like I wasn't staying low on my shot, so I didn't get no arc on it or anything. So John kind of like, he's like, stay low, stay focused and do everything the same, just stay lower. He fixed my shot today, and I'm thankful to have him also there, because I mean, he kind of explains it just like my trainer does. So it wasn't like that throughout the years, but just really focusing in practices and my form every day, and it just progressed throughout the years.
Are you practicing some of those like movement shots, mm-hmm. coming off of screens or handoffs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I mean, Ignite, we do a lot of like curl shots. I mean, what else do we do? We do like catch and shoot three, stuff like that. We pretty much do everything in practice.
That's it. And yeah. Did you do those in high school, or is it something like did you practice your footwork coming off of movement?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see. So, is that something you did like on your own? Like, were you rebounding for yourself, or your trainer? Like, what were the things you were doing to help master those movement threes?
Yeah, just continuing to do. I mean, keeping the same, every like shot has to be the same. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Getting that into your head, it just clicks in game for you. Yeah. So. When I was with my trainer, Dimitri, that's all we do, catch and shoot, off the movement shots, like curl shots. And then at Sunrise in high school, I would do it kind of like after practices because we wouldn't do it like decent amount of skills. So I would just stay after practice and work on those too.
Now, with your game, like we're talking like shooting, you have the dunk in game one against Perth. You mm-hmm. can handle the ball. Where's your current level as a ball handler, as like playing pure point guard? How would you assess yourself in that category right now?
Yeah, I could play point guard. I'd say I used to play point guard for my AU team, so it's nothing new to me. Like, I can handle bringing up the ball. I mean, and my ball handling skills is still great. I'd say I just in this level, you can't really do a bunch of fancy things. It's just three dribbles max, you know.
Yeah, so, no, with your handle, is there anything you're working on mechanically to tighten it up?
Yeah, just sharpening the ball handling skills pretty much. Me and T Scott are player development coach at G League. He helps me all the time pregame to get the handle right, and yeah, he's good. A good job.
I mean, the great thing about your game is even if you're not bringing the ball up the floor once in a game, you have the ability to be a screener, cutter, mover. With your game, like, is that something you've always had, or is that something you developed over time to have that off-ball impact that you constantly seem to have on the floor?
Yeah, at Sunrise Christian, I mean, I didn't really bring the ball up, so like learning how to get like easy buckets off cuts.
Who were your teammates?
What?
Who are your teammates?
Oh, for on the team? Yeah, I played.
Like best teammates, like anybody on that team?
Yeah, it was, we had Miro Little, Layden Blocker, Scotty Middleton, John Bull, mm-hmm. Almar Allison. Mm-hmm. So playing with them, I kind of developed like a cutting and screening, especially for the one player, Almar, who plays in Iceland. He's a great shooter, so I would screen for him and I'd find that I'd be open because mm-hmm. everyone would go at him, shooter.
Do you watch a lot of NBA games? Do you like watching the playoffs at all? Or are you more like watching highlights of players on
TikTok? Yeah, I like watching full games just to see like what mistakes players make. It's not just all about like the one highlight play. It's more than that.
Is there a role that a player has, or any particular player that you feel like, oh, I can like take from that, or I can fill that role, type of role potentially?
Yeah, I'd say like Paul George is defensive, and that's what I look like the most mm-hmm. on film. So it's kind of like weird because I'm not really that good defensively now, but I think I can be a really good defensive player.
What's the difference between where you are today and then getting to that like maximum level that you can as a defensive player? Is it something athletically? Like what's the gap between that stage right now, you think?
I think it is conditioning. It's more conditioning because I think when I have a lot of energy, I play good defense, but like when I'm like kind of fatigued, it's kind of tough and I like my feet are kind of slow. And I think getting in the best shape, that's when I think I could be the best.
Now with your overall game, like what teams do you like to watch? Like, is there any types of teams that you like watching that you could see yourself playing on?
Not really. I kind of look at every team. I like watching every team.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch Lamar Odom at all? I feel like I one of my comps for you is like prime Lamar Odom. He's a 6'9 guard. In today's NBA, if he were playing in modern times, I feel like he could have a role like you. You could be that guy who's helping run an offense. You could be a guy who uses a screener in certain matchups, picking apart a defense out of a short roll. He could shoot off the catch. Like, is that a name that you know at all?
I've heard of the name, but I haven't really watched highlights. I might have to search that up for sure.
Okay, I think he's worth watching. You were with Ron Holland and some of your G League Ignite players, the Rico Hines runs in LA. How did those go? Any memories from those games playing with your teammates there?
Yeah, it was fun. I'd say it was playing against NBA players was competitive, but I think we held our own out there and we got on the winning court. We won there against. Forgot who the team was. It was like Harrison Barnes. It was Jalen Green.
Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka, yeah. So, we won against them. It was fun. And then after, like, we won, it was like the championship for us. Oh. Yelling all over the court.
That must have been. So it was like all G League on your team.
Yeah.
There's never mixed rosters.
Yeah, it was me, Ron, London, Baba, and Tyler.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that's how you guys seem to have so much good chemistry already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Playing those actually helped a lot of Rico. Yeah.
So were you playing that, like scrimmages together prior to that? Like, how long have you guys been playing together?
That was our first scrimmage together.
Wow.
Yeah. So Seriously. It was crazy. Yeah.
Because you guys, like your chemistry in game one against Perth, I was surprised at honestly how good the team looked already.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what happens. You put a bunch of smart basketball players together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we can be so much better.
Mm-hmm. So you see, like the way you talk about it, like you mentioned the wanting to make history, it feels like you guys want to like win a championship.
Yeah.
You don't want to just be this developmental roster. You want to win, win, win.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we want to do. And we all have that mentality.
You talk about it together?
Yeah, we do.
You have like a text thread?
And we talk about it in the locker room, how good we can be. So yeah.
Where does that come from for you? Have you always loved winning?
Yeah. Working hard like before that one big game that you have, like the championship, and you know it's all like right there. It feels so good to win. It's like adrenaline just goes through your body and it feels good, you know? So winning is just, I don't know, it's in my blood.
Do you get that from your mom, your dad? They both super competitive?
I think it's just me. I mean, I think they were competitive, but I don't know if I got it from them.
Now, like, did you win any like high school championships? Like what's the highest thing you've won in your life so far?
Ooh, I'd say probably the Basketball Without Borders MVP or the Gatorade National Player of the Year.
Okay,
yeah, not the in the state.
I see.
But I think I could have won the national one too if it wasn't for some. I'm not going to talk about it.
Are there any NBA players you're close to?
Jonas Valanciunas, Harrison Barnes, I'm kind of close. I wouldn't say I'm really close to them. I know a decent amount, but I wouldn't say I'm close to them.
I see. Yeah. How often do you talk to Valanciunas?
Every now and then, you know, when he has a chance, he reaches out.
You watching him with FIBA at all? Or are you watching any of the World Cup games?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit. I'm not really waking up to watch those.
It's tough on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I'm LA-based. It's like some of those like 3:30 a.m. tip-offs.
I wish they were like our time because I love watching those games.
They're so fun.
It's crazy.
The pace of play, the 40-minute instead of 48 minutes. They're not, you know, rewarding grifting on foul calls. Like the FIBA game.
They're good.
I think the NBA is going to like take some notes from what they're doing and install in the NBA. Do you agree with me as I say that?
I agree.
You do?
I agree.
Like, what do you like about it? Like, what should the NBA take from there?
I don't know. I kind of like the goaltending thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fair to do that.
I think it's cool, too.
Even in FIBA, they don't even do it as much, so in the NBA, you know?
Well, the NBA has, like, so many more, like, genuinely elite of the elite athletes that it could probably be even more powerful in the NBA than it would be in FIBA.
Right.
Now, with entering this coming G League season, you're sharing the court with a ton of good prospects like we talked about. How would you describe Ron Holland to somebody who's never watched him play?
I'd say he's just a dog and he will go get like anything, block shots, he'll score, he'll be a good teammate even when he's not scoring, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a dog. That's what he is.
Now, with Almanza, he had a really good first game. Mm-hmm. I have him fifth on my board. You, Ron, and Almanza are all in my top five. Mm-hmm. With him, how would you describe him to somebody who's never watched him play as well?
Versatile. versatile, but also like just very fundamental. Also, he doesn't do too much, but he's also just does everything on the floor when he's on there. So,
Ron asked me to ask you this very important question. What do you like about Ron? What do you like about Ron Holland? That's what,
out of basketball?
I don't know. He just asked me, what do you like about Ron Holland?
he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Just being around him is just top five.
Why top five? What makes him top five?
I don't know. The things he says, I can.
Can you tell me a story? Something that doesn't get him canceled.
No, all of them.
You don't want to kill his draft stock.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I do. So you had both guys are laughing.
No, I'd say like when we're on the court, he just sometimes when there's like a moment of something, someone says something kind of crazy. I'm not gonna say what. Uh-huh. We just find eye contact like out of nowhere. Wherever he is, I just find him and he's just staring at me. Yeah, this is funny.
I mean, he likes to talk trash.
Yeah.
He told me he needs to tone that down because he used to get a lot of texts growing up.
Yeah.
He got a tech in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a trash talker as well? Or are you quiet on the floor?
Yeah, actually in the Rico runs, it was insane. Me and him, what we were saying, I don't even want to talk about it because we're just like, we're the underdogs, you know, we want to be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So we were just, it was crazy what we were saying, but I do talk.
Who's the best player you went up against in those runs?
Ooh, Andrew Nembhard, probably.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he had a great rookie season.
Really good. Who else was there? Scotty Barnes. He was tough. He's tough. We didn't play against Bones Highland, but he was so good. So good.
With the NBA this coming season, Nuggets are favored to win the championship again.
Yeah.
Like they get Jokic back. They get Jamal Murray back. They added some good draft prospects this year. Jalen Pickett, Hunter Tyson. They have a really good team. Who are the teams that you think are best in the NBA right now? Are there any teams you're going to be watching a lot this coming season?
Yeah. I'm pretty much going to be watching like any team, but I think for the championship, I don't know. I just got a feeling the Bucks will win. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And then also, the Nuggets, one of those two teams, I'd say.
I mean, with the Bucks, it's going to be interesting because Giannis, fully healthy now. Brooke Lopez, even though he's in his mid-30s, still a dominant guy. Like, mm-hmm. There's not many players who are 7 feet who can shoot threes and protect the rim at an elite level.
Right.
But then Chris Middleton, he's going to be the key, I think. Because he was hurt last year. If he can get back to being Chris Middleton, I mean,
it's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's hard to stop. But Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, that backcourt with Giannis, Brooke Lopez, they're nasty.
Yeah.
The Heat, you like watching them?
Yeah, I like the Heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always like the underdogs, you know?
Okay.
That's the best team for me.
So you also liked watching the Heat to go from playing to...
Yeah, it was crazy. The lineup, too. They were all second-round draft picks.
I know. Undrafted guy.
Yeah.
Like I think like they're a great example of a team that, like, you're going to be a lottery pick, no doubt about it. But no matter what path you take going to the NBA, you can still have great success.
Exactly.
Miami's a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Last question for you. What do you love about basketball?
Good question. I don't know. I don't know what I like about it. I just like to learn. It's about like basketball. It's just, I don't know. I fell in love with it somehow. I don't know how, because I didn't even like to play basketball at first. But
oh, yeah.
Just like, I don't know, putting the ball in the hoop is just something satisfying about it. Also like learning, because you cannot like stop learning about basketball, I'd say. There's so many things you can learn about. It's crazy.
How do you go from not liking it to loving it and becoming your passion? When did that happen? How old were you?
I'd say that transition year where I started to like it was like eighth grade. I started to take it like really seriously. My trainer like kind of told me you could be really good, and I was like, yeah, I can be, you know, I saw like the progression throughout the years, and I was like, yeah, like, let me take this seriously and maybe I can do something with it.
Something about being good at it, like having talent in it, and that kind of helps spark that love that you have for it now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now with you, last thought, like based off of that, Like, obviously, your potential that right now you could be the number one pick. And if the season goes well, you very well could be. What are your thoughts about, like, moving forward, being one of those guys with those expectations on you on top of, like, loving the game? But if you're drafted to a team and it's like, we got Buzelis. People are fired up on draft night. They feel like they got their savior. Like, how do you feel like you'll deal with some of those expectations from a hungry fan base that's ready to start winning?
Yeah, I don't really like try to pay attention to it. I know like the work I put in, it's going to show, you know, even my time, you know, my time is going to come at one point, you know? So working is like the most number one thing. It's your time will come if you keep working. So that's it. That for me, but there's expectations, but I don't really think about it.
So with you, it's just all about focusing on the things that you can control in your life.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a very mature mindset.
Yeah, I can't control those people that say, you know,
yeah,
Modest, we need you to score 30. You know, I can't do nothing about that, but what I can, it's all like right here with me. Mm-hmm. No?
Well, Modest, I wish you luck in this coming year with the G League. Looking forward to seeing how things develop for you, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Thank you to Modest Buzelis for joining me on today's podcast. Please be sure to subscribe if you haven't already and listen to my conversations that I've posted already with Ron Holland, Alex Saar, and then later this week, bringing on Eitan Almanza from the G League Ignite. Hope you have a good rest of your day.